Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy. I'll be your host this hour as we've come to Open Mic Friday, a day in which all of our listeners get the opportunity to direct the path of our conversation. We have with us in the studios today a very special guest that's going to direct our conversation today. If you have a question or you have a comment, we are still available for that. You can contact us by going to thegospelradionetwork.org, click on Listen Live, and then log in, and you'll find a chat window there that you can chat with us during the program. Mike Bonner is here with us today, and Mike is going to be talking to us in just a few minutes about the idea of being a blessing and what it means to be a blessing to others that are surrounding you. And so we're going to be talking to Mr. Mike in just a minute. I think you're going to be blessed just by listening to the program today, but I will tell you there's a double blessing waiting on you if you can participate in the program. It's kind of like a good Bible study. If it's just one way, it's a blessing. But if it's both ways, then it's a double blessing. And so you can get on to thegospelradionetwork.org. You can listen to us by downloading the app TuneIn to your smartphone. You can listen to us there. But you can also give us a call at 405-428-2440. Once again, that's 405-428-2440. Now, listen, I understand that there are a lot of people that don't like to be live on the radio. That is, they don't like to have their voice out there on the radio, and that's fine. You can also send me a text by that same number. Again, that's 405-428-2440. And Mr. Mike and I will be dealing with any of your questions or comments in regards to that. And before we get to Mike, I do want to let you know that the broadcast of Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine is brought to you each weekday by the good brethren at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. We meet at 901 North Main Street every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:30 a.m. for worship, and then again we meet at 5 p.m. for a Sunday night worship. We also meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for Bible study. By the way, come by and join us if you're ever in this area. We would consider you our honored guest to be with us and to join us in any of those opportunities. Now, I've explained this before, but we have other opportunities of Bible study. The Alpha Omega Group meets on the campus of Angelo State University every Thursday at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. Brother Josh has a Bible study every other Thursday in his home at 7 p.m., and so there are many, many opportunities that you can have to join us in Bible study and worship. And so we're glad that you're listening with us today. And by the way, if you're listening on that bus out there in East Texas, we want to say hi to Mr. Chip and all of the students that are on his bus. Go by and tell Mr. Chip hi for us. And we're going to offer you a challenge before we get to the end of our program today. I've been trying to challenge many of our listeners dealing with some items with regards to character and character development. And so we're going to offer some other challenges today on the program as well. Before we get to Mr. Mike, we have one other item that we normally participate in. I have a book in my library entitled Today Is Mine by Brother Leroy Brownlow. Brother Leroy Brownlow has passed on to his eternal reward, but by his writings, he has blessed us with many wonderful things. And Today Is Mine is a little devotional book, and every day I get an opportunity to sit down with some great principles from the mind of this good brother who has now passed on into his reward. So today he talks about being agreeable. He says, the bristly dog is not much for agreement. That's all right, but it's his disagreeable ways of expressing it that repels us. We prefer the agreeable dog. He's not so beastly. And our choices of people are not so different. Not that all have to conform to our views, but we do demand that they be agreeable. The practical thought for me is this. The world is filled with the would-be friends. I haven't won or never will by barking and biting. The behavior that wins them is affable and amiable and conversable and considerate, not frictional. So he has a quote from George Eliot who says, "Animals are such agreeable friends. They ask no questions. They pass no criticism." Of course, the Bible passage from Romans chapter 15 and verse number 2 should forever be on our lips. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So one of the challenges that I would like to offer to all of our listeners today, but especially those that are riding on the bus to school this day, is for you to try your best, your dead level best. Work hard at it, but try to be agreeable today. Try not to be a disagreeable kind of individual. And I think you'll find that your day will go a whole lot better. All right, I want to get to Mr. Mike now. I'm going to let Mr. Mike say hello to our listening audience, and he might have something that he wants to start out with. Mike, it's so good to have you on the program today.
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the invitation, Rick. And, you know, I always take these opportunities and praise God for them because they are a blessing. You know, and I never want to take these for granted. Appreciate our friendship. Appreciate our camaraderie we have in Christ, preachers of the gospel. But also appreciate everyone who's listening. You know, all of us need someone that's going to help us. And all of us need to be a blessing to one another. God has blessed us with Christ. He has blessed us with the church. And we ought to be a blessing to our families and also to our community.
Amen. I tell you what, it's, by the way, that's not always an easy thing to practice. It is certainly easy to say, but it's not always easy for us to be able to practice what we're talking about with regards to being a blessing. And even as Brother Brownlow was saying in his devotional book, being the kind of person that is not always frustrated with everything, but is the kind of person that is generally an agreeable individual. In other words, he's not always an antagonist. You see, he's agreeable by nature, and Christ makes us that way, that That's we right. would be agreeable by nature.
That's right. That's right. And we need to make sure that as we are listening to people, we want to make sure that we are hearing them out before we agree or disagree. So in doing that, you know, we just want to make sure that we're giving everybody their fair share of listening and then offer up words of wisdom when we do talk. So if we are disagreeable, let's make sure that we're being disagreeable with the Word of God and with wisdom.
There you go. That's exactly right. Well, listen, we have several things that we want to get to with regards to this lesson dealing with being a blessing. And one of the things I talked to Mike about when I said, "Mike, I'd really love to have you come on." And we talked about this the other day. I remember when he presented a lesson dealing with some of the themes that we're going to talk about today at Bible Camp, what is it, about 6 to 8 months ago?
Yes.
And so he's really been working hard on this particular theme of a blessing. And I said, you know what, Mike, what we need in a lot of cases, we need some families to understand what it means to be a blessing. How do fathers, for example, mothers, or even children, you know, children are designed to rise up and call their parents blessed. Proverbs 31 talks about that from the mother's, the virtuous woman's perspective. And so we are designed to be a blessing regardless of where we are in the family. And I think that's one of the things that we should start with is what does it mean to be a blessing? Where does that ideal come from? Where did it first hit you in your Bible study?
You know, I was in Washington, D.C. in June and heard a great lesson from a brother up there, and he was teaching on being a blessing. And what I did was I went home and I did, of course, my own study. And from what I concluded, To be a blessing literally means to be valuable. You know, when we think of a blessing, matter of fact, in Genesis 1 in verse number 28, we understand that this was the sixth day of creation. And God told Adam and Eve that he was going to bless them. The Bible says, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and so forth and so on. The idea there, when we think of being blessed, we think of good. We think of blessing. We think of value. And in essence, what God was telling Adam and Eve, Brother Pope Joy, you're valuable. And really what a father ought to do, a father ought to make sure that their children know that they're valuable, that they are good. And as a matter of fact, when God created man, he said it was very good. So isn't it ironic that God said that, and Solomon, by inspiration, in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, God made man upright. God made man good. God made man valuable. And the problem is that man devalues what God has valued.
Oh, man. You know, you think about all of the items that our children are being bombarded with on a regular basis.
Yes.
Now listen, we have some homeschoolers that are listening here from, I know, from Oklahoma and Michigan and places such as that. And they have a unique environment,
yes,
that they have created by homeschooling their children that helps out. But even homeschooling, your children are going to be around people that are not homeschooled, and those children are going to be, they're bombarded. Every aspect of a person's life growing up is infused with the fact that we are from some cesspool billions of years ago, that we are not created beings, that, and the only value that we have is the fact that our intellect has risen, and by the way, our spine is upright, and our intellect has risen above that of the chimpanzee.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's what they're being bombarded with every day, devaluing the human to just another animal, and he begins to act like animals, and we're surprised at that. They're not hearing blessings; they're hearing cursings.
Yes.
And so to value a human being means to value his place in creation.
Yes. And let me take it even further, Brother Rick, and let us look at this from a practical perspective, what you just said. When we think of the television shows, most of the television shows we are watching today have a lot of killing in it.
Mm-hmm.
48 hours. When you think of television shows, crime shows, mm-hmm. you think of the games that our children are playing on the Xbox and the PlayStations and whatever, a lot of killing going on. And what happens is that those images are portrayed in the mind, and they capture the mind. And the next thing you know, we have children that are committing crimes because they have been conditioned and trained to devalue what God has valued, life. See, the issue here is that what we are doing, we are killing what God wants alive.
Mm.
So you're talking from an evolution perspective. I'm also talking from a practical perspective of what goes into the mind, what goes into the eyes, and then it is acted out in our actions.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if I'm seeing people being killed every day? What happens if I am killing people on my PlayStation every day?
Mm-hmm.
That means when I am upset, when someone makes me angry, when someone disturbs me, then it's nothing for me to take life.
You know, we teach ourselves we teach ourselves these habits.
Yes.
This is a training of the mind.
Yes.
Listen, our Air Force recognizes this. Who do they want on the battlefield when it comes to sending those drones over there? Well, they want individuals who have been trained coming up in that kind of environment that you've just talked about. Those are the best ones.
Yes.
It's a video game to them. Yes. By the way, that kind, you know, that whole concept is a concept that we can have a discussion on later. But the whole principle of training our mind for that. Mike, I read a statistic just the other day that I found real disturbing. That and this goes along with the devaluing of humanity from a created being to just an object. The number one age group that is involved in pornographic searches on the internet are from 12 to 15.
Wow.
12 to 15.
Yes.
Now, what are they training their minds in regards to that? They're training their minds that another human being is nothing but an object of my desire.
Yes.
And whatever I desire is what I should receive out of that. It's the same thing, the
devaluing.
Same thing,
treating another human being as a piece of meat.
Mm.
You know, what's the difference between doing that and the wild kingdom?
There you go.
There's no difference. And this is why, Brother Pope Joy, when we think about blessings, when we think about, and God bless them, God says, you're valuable, you're good, you're worth something, I love you, you mean something. So keep in mind that, and you think about what happened in the garden. They devalued what God valued. Ooh. And then if you keep on going, man's mind was on evil continually. Mm-hmm. And so what did God do? God said, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And the next thing you know, God told Noah, build this ark. He built the ark. He told them, get off the ark. And then he says, God said, he blessed them.
Mm.
And then he told him the same thing he told Adam. He said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth.
Listen, so if you're going to start something, right? God started with the garden, with man and woman, Adam and Eve, right there. And so he started there, and he gave them a blessing.
Yes.
When he restarted with regards to Noah and the whole world with eight souls, he blessed them.
Yes.
Jesus, when he started preaching about the kingdom, blessed are.
Yes.
The, you know, seven blessings of the kingdom, and then he blessed it to start. That's the first sermon of the gospel mindset, and it starts with blessing.
And let's go back even further. When you think of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, verse 5 and 6, the problem with the Tower of Babel, they wanted to make a name for themselves.
Mm.
And God had to come down there, and he had to stop it. The next thing you know, in Genesis 12, he tells Abraham, front and center, you come here. And I'm going to make your name great. See, if we're going to be a blessing, we need to stop trying to make our name great and go do what God says, and God will make our name great. And he will bless us.
Isn't it a whole lot better to have our name great in the eyes of God than men anyway?
Yes.
Mm, listen, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and then God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And then you're going to be a blessing. And now that word there is the same word that we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and also in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 1. However, when we think of what God did with Abram, he says, you're going to be a benefit.
Mm.
You're going to be a source of salvation. You're going to be a source of healing. You're going to be a source of what everybody needs in order to come into a relationship with me.
Oh, in Abraham, then, in the faith of Abraham, by obeying God, there is a sense of reaching all the way forward to passages such as Ephesians 2, where Jew and Gentile now.
Yes, yes.
A blessing.
Yes.
Abraham, you're valuable to me, and here's how you're valuable to me.
Yes.
Well, maybe we should do that with reference to our families.
Yes.
See, Mike and I have been spending a lot of time talking about this today, about being a blessing to our families, and fathers saying to their sons and their daughters, you are a blessing.
Yes.
But here's how you are a blessing to me and my family. And by the way, it's not just in doing the chores, but there's a value in doing chores, but that's not just it. It's you're valuable as a person. Let's say they're not a Christian yet. You're going to grow up to be a Christian. You're going to grow up to be a leader in the church. You're going to grow up to be married to a saint of God. There's all kinds of blessings that we need to let our children know.
Yes, and it is the responsibility. Isn't it amazing? With authority, with permission comes responsibility.
I think I know where you're going to go. Lead us.
In Psalm 127, we see the man. The Bible says in verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. The man is well off. He's a benefit. Notice, who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak of their enemies and negate. Friends and Brother Pope Joy, when we stop and we consider our responsibility, we point our children in the right direction. Ooh. They don't point themselves.
That's right.
God has given us that permission, which comes with responsibility, and they are a blessing. This is why we ought to tell our children, you are something because God made you.
Listen, we have we actually have a question in regards to one of our young listeners. This is the question. Miss Sky, I don't think she'll mind me mentioning her name. She is, by the way, this is a sweetheart of a lady, by the way.
Yes, she is.
But she says, if you're struggling to be a blessing and a value to God and to your family, here's the first question. She says, how do you change? If you're struggling with that, how do you change?
You know, it's funny that that question was asked. I received a question today in that same vein. And I'm going to share what I told this individual. The first thing you need to do is you need to begin studying and developing a conviction in God through humility and obedience.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times we want some flowery answer, but really God has always been easy. Man makes it hard. God says, okay, you're going to be a blessing, Abram, and this is how you're going to be a blessing. And Abram did what God told him to do, which was easy. Now, don't get me wrong, don't mistake me, as relates to Abram slaying his son. We know that wasn't easy, but his conviction in God made it profitable for him to do it.
By the way, the activity is easy. Raising a knife
and
plunging it, the action is easy. The emotion tied to the action is what stays the action.
Yes. Good question. And if I can, let me
go ahead.
Brother Pope Joy and I was talking earlier, and I was telling him as I was thinking about this, there are five things that I've kind of concluded that needs to take place if we're going to be a blessing for the Lord and for Jesus Christ. Number one.
By the way,
give
those five right now, and then we can go through those.
Yes.
Because I want everybody that is listening today or in the archives to be able to have the five, whether or not we get to all of
yes.
them before time runs out. Okay?
Great. Number one, conviction is required.
Now listen, write this down. This is important stuff.
Number two, clarity is necessary. You got to be clear. We need to know what we believe so we can be a blessing to our children and to our community. Number three, consistency. Consistency is a must.
Mm.
Consistency. We need to be consistent. God was consistent in his blessing of man, and we need to be consistent in our blessing to our families and to our friends. Number four, which is tough, courage.
Mm.
Courage is utmost necessary. We have to have courage. And lastly, confidence in Christ.
Ooh.
Confidence in Christ. So conviction, clarity, consistency, courage, and confidence in Christ.
Now listen, friends, you've just got your vitamin C for the day.
Mm.
That's it right there. I mean, that is some that's the foundation. And on Thursdays, Mike, we've been talking about character and character development. We've been talking about fortitude.
Yes.
We've been talking about wisdom, and we've been talking about these kind of things.
Amen.
And to have you in and to have you talk about these things from the prospect of what it means to be a blessing to me is so very important. You know, she follows up and she says, also, if you're not being the Christian you should be, how do you begin to get back where you should be? By the way, I probably should have read those questions together because I think they do go together.
Yes, they do.
You can be a blessing to your family without being a Christian, but you cannot be the kind of blessing. You cannot be the extent of a blessing
yes.
that God wants you to be without living the Christian life.
And another aspect of blessing, which is seen in the New Testament, in the book of 3 John, and it is dealing with generosity. Mm-hmm. And it carries the idea, Brother Pope Joy, of propelling. when you think of propelling something, you are causing it to go forward. See, everything that God did to bless man, it caused him, it helped him, it motivated him to go forward, never backwards.
Right.
So when you think about being a blessing to somebody, that's why when you do something well for somebody, do something good for somebody, what they say is, man, you're a blessing to me.
That's right.
You caused me to go forward. You caused me to be a better person.
That's right.
And that's really what it's about.
And by the way, both of those aspects are so important in a relationship.
Amen.
It is so important for me as a father, as the head of the house, Psalm 127, Ephesians 6 and verse number 4, to speak those words of admonition.
Yes.
Those weren't they weren't necessarily given to the wife. They're given to the husband, the father, not the mother. Now, the mother can participate in that. She can be a blessing to that family in many different ways. But primarily, it is the father's responsibility. And so I think Ms. Guys is dead on with these questions. So how do you become a blessing? Well, you have to, you can't dig a ditch without getting your hands dirty.
That's right.
And if you're going to dig deep into God's word, you're going to have to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
In other words, I heard an old-time gospel preacher, younger preacher, was asking him, his Bible was all tattered and worn, and it looked like it had a gloss on it. And he, it was smooth, the leather was. And he said, wow, what kind of oil did you use? And he said, that's palm oil, son.
Palm oil.
You got to put the palm. You got to put the hand to it to get the oil on it,
yes,
you see.
Sir.
That will soften up the leather of any Bible, you see. And
that's
so
right.
You do have to dig. But I think she hit something that I think is first important, and that is you have to recognize that the way that you are living is not a blessing to other people.
That's right.
You see, most people don't change unless they see a need to change. And then they're slow to change because they don't know how to change.
That's right.
So before we can tell them the how, we have to show them the why.
Yes.
So you're not being a blessing living like that. You're not being a blessing living to your family if you are, it's all about me and
that's right.
And why don't I have this and all of that. If you're not grateful for the good gifts that your parents have brought you up with, you're not a blessing to your family.
That's right.
Mom and dad, maybe even somebody else that has some influence with those children can say, you know what? You're not being a blessing. When you're talking back to your mama,
that's
you're not
right.
being a blessing to your
that's
mama.
Right. That's right.
You know? You say, yes, ma'am. You say, yes, sir. You say, I'm on it, you know. When your mama has to tell you for the fifth time to put down that toy and to take out the trash, you're not being a blessing. You know, that's practical, you
see.
That's right. That's everyday stuff. And if you're not doing that, you're not being a blessing.
That's right.
Now, if mama continues that without any type of discipline, she's not being a blessing to her
that's
children
right.
either.
She's not propelling her forward. She's not propelling her kids forward. You have to.
You know, sometimes it takes a swift kick to get people moving forward,
that's
right?
That's right.
Now, by the way, if you use a swift kick all the time, you ain't being a blessing to your family.
That's right.
You speak words of blessings first.
That's right.
You know, I wonder how much different it would be, Mike, if we said to our children, you know, you would be a real blessing to me if you took out the trash today.
Oh, that would go a long way.
I never said that to my children. But in talking to you, I look back and I wonder if my children would have responded differently.
Yes.
If I had said things differently too.
That's right. They probably would have.
They probably would have.
Matter of fact, I have 3 points on that.
Uh-huh.
You know, because when you said about speaking, a soft answer turns away
wrath.
Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
But soft words, what do they do? What did we do? Well, a soft answer turns away wrath. Grievous words stir up more anger.
Mm-hmm.
A word fitly spoken.
Ooh.
Can you finish that?
Oh, man.
It's like apples of gold in settings of silver. Mm. I mean, we can bless one another by how we talk to one another.
Absolutely.
And really, there are 3 things that I also see concerning this blessing that you just spoke of. Blessing one another requires invoking. When you think about invoking God, you're asking God to bless this situation.
Oh.
Well, how is he going to do that? Through his word, through a relationship with God, through Christ Jesus, which is time conscious.
Wow.
A lot of times we don't take time to bless one another
right.
because we're in a rush. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. Really, in order to truly bless someone, you got to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, blessing each other requires investment.
Ooh, invoking. Investment. I like that.
And then number three, blessing one another requires intention.
Ooh, I've got to. You just think about some of those things here and those items that we're talking about. I happen to know who's making the phone call there, and I happen to know he's not calling the radio, so he'll call back later. But listen, you think about the investment, the investment of time.
Yes.
The investment of energy.
Yes.
The investment of activity in all of these things. How important those things are. It's not, you know, some people say, well, I give quality time, not quantity time.
That's hogwash.
Well, it is, because children, people, family, relationships,
yes,
we need both.
Need both.
You got to have quantity.
Yes.
But you got to have quality too.
Amen.
You got to have both of them.
Amen.
And so, wow, that's good stuff.
You know, and when you think about the investment, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, Peter said, "For you were not purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold by your vain conversation, but by the precious blood of Christ." That's why we're a blessing, because we're not cheap.
Ooh.
And the problem is some people sell themselves off as cheap, but if you're a child of God, you're not cheap. Oh, we've been bought with the blood of Christ.
That's exactly right. Oh, you know what? I think that sometimes we do see ourselves as cheap.
Mm-hmm. And that's why a girl can, or a boy, they can give their bodies away for nothing.
That's right.
Without a ring.
Yep. You know, listen, ooh, man, now you've gone to preaching. But, you know, you think about this. And listen, I'll use it in relationship to my life. My wife, I put a ring on her finger. It's a rather cheap ring. But she's not cheap.
That's
at
right.
All.
That's right.
She takes and she gives. But it's an investment in time and energy and effort. She's in my mind. I'm talking about in my mind. I see her as extremely valuable.
That's right.
To me.
That's right.
She's valuable to the kingdom of God, and I could give you multiple examples, and she'd be red in the face. But I see her that way. See, I see her as valuable. A husband needs to be able. By the way, I know that I follow Miss Natasha every now and then on Facebook, and I see her stuff up there. And I tell you this about her. One of the things I appreciate so much is that she does not mind telling the world on Facebook how good her husband is.
Amen.
You know, we shouldn't be afraid of that.
That's right.
You know, we shouldn't be afraid. My wife is the most valuable asset I got.
That's right.
You know, and the most important relationship that I have here upon the earth.
That's
there
right.
There is no other. I mean, Christ is above all, but on a human scale, she tops the list.
That's right. Let me read something. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Here it is. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Jesus feeds the church with the word. We ought to be feeding our spouses and feeding our children and feeding our community with the word of God and good living.
Amen. That's exactly right. See, that's I told you this is going to be a blessing today, and we certainly are. Not Mike's words. He's telling you what the Bible says. These are God's words. And God's words are always a blessing to us. So, Mike, I would like to get back to those C's, because I know that you have something other than just. I wanted everybody to have the C's, but I know this is a short program in reference to what we're talking about. I mean, this is you could search the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's all about a blessing.
It's all about a blessing.
And, you know, Revelation 22, verse number 16, Jesus says, I, Jesus. And then he says, I am the root and the offspring of David.
Yes.
I'm the bright and morning star. The Bible begins with God blessing us, and it ends literally with God blessing us.
Amen.
And so from beginning to end, it's, you know, it's all there.
And in that blessing, Brother Pope Joy, if you notice what Isaac, well, I'm sorry, what Abraham did with Isaac, he passed down the blessing.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing, passing down the blessing. This is the problem. We're so selfish that we keep the blessing.
Mm.
And that's why when everything that God blesses us with, whether it is finances, whether it's children, whether it's friends, he did all of that or does all of that so we can be a blessing to someone else. So in doing that, we want to make sure that we're striving to be a blessing to everyone and pass it down. One time my mother told me, she said, "Mike, the reason why you have a job is so you can help others, not to keep it for yourself."
Mm.
But when we get a job, say, "I can't wait to go buy everything that I want." But who's to say you're supposed to do that? And now, let me be nice here. We have weak brothers who are trying to teach us now that giving is not a command. You know why? Because they're stingy and they don't want to pass down the blessing. God blessed them with good health. God blessed them with a job. Give back to the kingdom so the kingdom can go forward and be a blessing to the world, so the church can be God's moral culture inside of an immoral world to bless the world so people can be saved from their sins.
Mike, you reminded me of a song that we sometimes sing entitled "There Is a Sea." And I cannot think of blessings without thinking of this song. It's written back in 1921. But listen to the words real briefly here. "There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills, and streams and springs from wells of God or fall from cedared hills. But what it thus receives, it gives with unsparing hand. A stream more wide with deeper tide flows on to lower land." By the way, that's the Sea of Galilee that he's talking about there. "There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps nor gives to shore nor sea beside. Its Jordan stream, now turned to brine, lies heavy in molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim that sea is waste and dead."
Mm.
"Which sea shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take and give again?" Powerful words with regards to which sea are we going to be?
That's right.
You know, you have that Sea of Galilee that gives the Jordan River, which blesses all of that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, as God called it.
That's right.
And it goes right down into the Dead Sea, and it stops right there, and it's absolutely valueless as far as a sea is concerned.
That's right.
So if we keep our blessings instead of blessing other people, we will be a dead and wasteless, barren land.
Mm. We'll be a dead sea.
A dead sea. That's exactly right. Now, that'll preach, too.
Yeah.
By the way, you don't want to be no dead sea.
That's good.
By the way, that would be a good follow-up. We've been giving you the vitamin C's.
Yes.
And then now there are people who'll be a dead sea.
A dead sea. Wow, that's good.
So let's talk about these five C's here and this idea of being a blessing to God.
To be a blessing to God requires conviction. You know, we need to make sure that as children of God, as the Lord's church, the church of Christ, conviction is required. We have to believe what the Bible says. Mm. We cannot have some alternative views of the scriptures. The only way we can truly be a blessing to our family, we got to teach them the Word of God, and then they have to have a strong conviction in the Word of God, in who God is, in who Jesus Christ is. The Lord's church, there's one church, only church that the Lord Jesus Christ has. And if we don't have that conviction, that means that we're going to be mixing and mingling with denominations. And one thing we know, that Christ only has one body, one church. And because of that, we have many brethren that are going out and they are talking about, well, it doesn't matter where you go to church, you know, we're all the same. No, we're not the same. The church that the Lord Jesus established has one teaching, one doctrine, and we have to teach our children and teach the community that if you truly want to be blessed by God, you got to stay with His Word.
That's right. That's right.
Number two, when we stop and we think about being a blessing, we need to be clear. Mm-hmm. Got to be clear. We can't fuzzy the lines, if you will. The muddy lines, they used to say, muddy the waters. Yep. We need to be clear in what we believe, and we need to teach our children with conviction that, hey, this is what God's word says, and I'm not going to change it for you, and you shouldn't change it for me. And one of the things that we know for a fact, that if we're truly going to be a blessing to the world, that our children must know God's word and have some clarity in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And when we talk to people, we can't be saying, well, I think this is what it says. No, we can know. John even said, we write these things unto you that you may know that you're saved.
And if you don't know it, tell them you don't know
it. Tell them you don't know it.
You know, I tell people all the time, on especially Open Mic Friday, I tell them all the time, Mike, I can answer any question you ask. The answer may be, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'll answer it.
That's right.
It might be, hey, I'm going to look that up over the weekend, and I will see you next Friday, and we will answer that question.
Amen.
But it's always about the book. It's not about what I think.
Yes.
By the way, I heard this concerning someone the other day, that a spokesman for someone, you know, a spokesman for the president, he was out, and he said, well, I think, and you know, I heard somebody say, well, we really don't care what the spokesman thinks.
That's right.
We care about what the president thinks.
That's right.
That's what we want to know. That's why you're out there. You're not out there to give us your opinion. You're out there to tell us what the president believes.
That's
on.
That's right.
Is that not the same?
Same thing.
Are we not the spokesman of God?
That's right.
And should we not, you know, people don't want to hear what I think. By the way, you shouldn't if you do.
That's right.
Because my thinking can get you in a lot of trouble sometimes. It has me over the past.
That's right.
And so we got to go with God.
Well, what did Peter say in 1 Peter 4, verse number 11? If any man speak, let him speak as the utterances, the oracles of God. He needs to speak as if God is speaking to the people himself.
Mm.
So you better know what he's talking
about. That's right. And that goes with that conviction, too, doesn't it?
That's right.
You know, if I get up there and I will tell you, Mike, I despise preachers that do this. They're always apologizing for what the word says.
Mercy.
Now listen, we're going to do something here, and I want to, you know, I want to tell you that, you know, it might be a little offensive, but I feel like I need to do this. Where do you find that in God's word?
You don't find it.
You find Abraham saying to his son, you know, I want to apologize, but Ishmael, you ain't the son of the promise.
That's
he didn't
right.
apologize. He just said, you ain't it.
You ain't it. You got to go.
That's right. You ain't going to be a blessing. By the way, Ishmael, you ain't going to be a blessing to the whole world,
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And even his descendants are not a blessing to the world.
That's right.
But that's another lesson
that's
altogether.
Another lesson. And the third thing is, we need to be consistent. Have to have some consistency. Mm. So if we're going to truly be a benefit, propel people forward, if we're going to help people to see salvation and help people, that means we need to be consistent in our living.
Mm.
Which means that even if we mess up, we need to say, you know what, I messed that up. I'm sorry, and be right. consistent.
Repentance is a part of that consistency.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen. Aren't you glad that God put repentance in the plan? Even as a child of God, if we mess up, you know, the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us all unrighteousness.
Listen, without it, we would be in the same boat. One sin after we become a Christian and we're out.
We'll be a sinner.
Yeah, that's right. And there would be no justification for our life at all.
That's right.
And so there's no real value, right?
That's
there's
right.
no real blessing.
Good point.
In being a Christian.
Good point.
If one sin, you're out.
That's right.
And so consistent. Well, go back to Sky's question. What do we do if I don't think I'm a blessing? You know, I have an entire lesson that I've been working on, and I've preached it before, and I've talked about it even here on the radio, but I'm going to have a gospel meeting in Cleburne, and this is going to start it out. This is going to be the very first lesson that I preach. It's involving the power of daily.
Hmm.
The power of daily. The theme is, somebody turn on the power. You see, that's what I'm talking about, turn
okay.
on the power.
Okay.
Here's the power of the daily, you see. When you look at the Bible, people ask me all the time, Mike, why isn't the church growing like it was in the first century? Mm. Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons that I can affect is this. I'm not studying my Bible daily. I'm not praying daily. Hmm. I'm not doing the things that I need. I'm not helping the needy daily. I'm not engaging in visitation daily, in evangelism daily, in hospitality daily, so I don't get daily results.
That's right.
You got to have, you know, if I don't go to work daily, I don't get a paycheck at the end.
That's right. That's
right. It's daily activity that produces daily results.
Didn't the Hebrews writer say in Hebrews 3 that they needed to exhort one another?
Verse number 12.
Daily.
Daily. That's right.
So not every other day?
No, not every other
day. So every day I ought to be texting somebody. I ought to be calling somebody.
Listen, if you ain't, you ain't being the kind of blessing God wants you to be to this world.
Oh, man.
See, that's the power of the daily.
That's right.
See, that stuff we don't even think about anymore.
Every day.
But that question... Powerful. By Miss Guy. That's a powerful question. That's a thinker, see?
Yes, sir.
What I got to do if I'm not being a blessing to my family, I got to recognize, and then I got to change.
Yes.
And so that's what I got to do. Now, we got some more C's.
Which brings us to Sky's question number 4, courage.
Mm.
Courage is vital.
Yes.
So conviction is required. Clarity is necessary. Consistency is a must. Courage is vital. You got to have courage to make those changes. You have to have courage to be a blessing. A lot of times, especially young people, and, you know, I'm noticing even sometime in our own lives, we don't have the courage to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are looking for someone to stand up for what is right.
That's right.
And it requires courage. It took courage for Abraham to take the young men and the donkey and his son Isaac, and he told the young men, y'all stay here with the donkey. The lad and I are going to go worship, and we'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
It took courage for him to do that.
That's right.
And it took courage for him to do what God told him to do. Brother, Pope Joy is going to take courage for us to do the same.
It is. That's exactly right. And outside the confines of our church buildings.
Amen.
We got to exercise that courage.
Amen.
We got to have the courage to initiate conversation sometimes. We don't even have the sometimes the courage to do that.
That's right.
Here is somebody that's in need. What about the courage to go by and to take care of the needs of a widow or a widower or somebody that's having difficulty? You know, I don't like to. You know, I heard one man say, I don't like to go to nursing homes. Who does?
Yes.
Not even the people there.
Yes.
There's not a single nurse that wants to go to the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single patient that wants to be there. Nobody wants to.
That's right.
They do it because it's necessary to be done.
That's right.
Because that's the only way those nurses are going to be there, because that's the only way those people can be blessed.
That's right. That's right.
And so if you want some activity to do, visit a nursing home. Be a blessing to people. You know, the Bible, how many times do you think the Bible talks about, I guess asking for a number, but you think about this, a blessing to the people.
Yes.
You know, in the Old Testament, you couldn't shave the corners of your field because of the poor.
Yes.
Right? God was concerned about the poor.
That's right.
God was concerned about the widows, the orphans, the strangers, the visitors to their place. And so, somebody visits and, I'm not real good at, I don't care how good you are.
That's right.
Have the courage just to greet people, to meet people, to invite them to your home and to invite them. I mean, have courage to do what we know is needed.
And you know what? That was the problem with Naaman in 2 Kings.
Mm.
You know, he was looking for convenience, but the blessing was in the Jordan.
Mm, that's right.
See, the blessing was in the Jordan, and he wanted it somewhere else. But no, you got to dip 7 times in the Jordan.
That's right. Siri ain't got it.
Ain't got it.
That's right. That's
so
exactly
right. We need to have that courage.
Mm.
But the last one is we need to have confidence.
Mm.
Got to have confidence in Christ. When we think about confidence, we're talking about having a steadfast hope in knowing who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a blessing, we need to make sure that our confidence is only in Christ. We sing a song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ
and righteousness. See, that's good stuff. That's why we sing these kind of songs
right.
we talked about.
Right.
They remind us of the blessing and the hope that we're supposed to be because we have received it of God.
That's right.
You know, and by the way, you think about this, my friends, there is nothing more valuable to a person than hope.
Amen.
There's a reason why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse number 24,
mm-hmm.
hope saves.
Yes.
It saves because if I lose hope, I give up.
I give up.
I give up.
That's right.
And there are a lot of Christians. I've seen a lot of preachers who entered into the preaching work, and because it didn't go the way they thought it should go, you know, I mean, and listen, preaching can be very disturbing at times.
Yes.
But they didn't have a lot of people obeying the gospel like they thought.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, well, if I come in and I teach it this way and I teach the Bible, then brethren are going to change automatically. It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work that way.
And so it becomes very discouraging. And when they lose hope, they go to the secular world. Now, I'm not saying that's why everyone goes to the secular world, but I've talked to a lot of these preachers. That's the reason why they went.
That's right.
Because their hope was dashed in these things, and we've got to have that hope.
Got to have
Christians
it.
will begin to they'll begin to miss the assemblies, and it's really not, you know, we can say, well, listen, you got to be there. Yes, you got to be there, but there's a reason why they're missing, Mike, and it's not because they don't know Hebrews 10:25.
That's right.
Hebrews 10:25 is a good verse. It ought to be preached. I preach it, but I'm telling you, that's not the reason why they missed. They lost their hope.
And, you know, if we can, I just want to take that thought and look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44 real quick. I want to take your thought and notice what is said here. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you.
Uh-oh.
The word bless there means to speak well of, to invoke a blessing upon, to set apart. And I think about what Peter said, blessed be the God and Father, speaking well of. How can someone come to worship and bless God if they don't believe they've been blessed?
Ooh.
And that's one of our issues. And Brother Popejoy, when we know that we have been blessed, excuse my terminology, hell nor high water can keep us from going to worship.
That's right.
Go bless God because he has blessed us.
Amen. That's exactly
so people
right.
Say,
let the creek rise.
Let the creek rise.
It ain't going to stop.
I'm going to take a paddle boat and I'm going to get there.
That's exactly right, my friend. And, you know, you think about this and you think about speaking well of God, speaking well of Christ. How about speaking well of my brethren in the church?
Amen.
You know, I can tell you that there is nothing more disturbing than to be a part of a group to where that group, and they might even be in public. It might be at a restaurant, and all of a sudden the conversation turns, and it's all about how bad the church is. Well, how am I going then to turn around to the waiter or the waitress or the person next to them and say, listen, I worship at and I would love to invite you. And they're going to say,
for what?
Why would I want to come there?
If it's that bad, I don't want to go.
You don't even speak good about your brethren in public. Why would I want to go there so you could speak bad about me?
Amen.
We got to learn controlling the tongue.
Yes.
Boy, it's something that we all ought to learn.
Amen.
I will tell you that every one of us, That's why James talks about it so powerfully and so strongly.
Yes.
It is a dangerous evil.
Yes.
We have to learn to control it.
And James even uses the word bless in that context. We bless God in one way and curse man another way.
Ooh.
Like, what are we doing? And you bring up an excellent point. And this is why we have to strive for this transformation of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we transform our mind, knowing that we have been blessed, then not only will we bless Jehovah, but we will bless one another.
That's right. That's right. In fact, when you talk about, when you start talking about cursings, there are some cursings in the Bible.
Yes.
And they're always in relationship to the blessings. See, God, by his very nature, desires our repentance.
Amen.
He desires the fruit of a godly life. That's his desire. That's his intent. And so should it be ours?
Yes.
But he also tells us that, okay, if you don't want the blessings, the only thing left
is the cursing.
Is the cursing. And Israel, once a year, used to go to two mountains, a valley in between, and the high priest would, at Mount Ebal, I believe, read the cursings.
Yep. Mount Gerizim.
Mount Gerizim, he'd read the blessings. Oh, you know, that's what a sermon should be. That's what our, you know, we should bless what God once blessed, and we should curse what God once cursed.
Amen. Great point. Great point. Brother, I don't have anything else to say. You've said
it
all.
Man, we have exhausted it, and we still got 3 minutes left, Mike. You're going to have to think up something pretty quickly here.
Well, I do know this. Ever since I've been studying this for the last 7 months, my mind has been transforming, even to the point that when people are around me and they're talking negatively, I'm as blunt to say, you have 5 minutes, and then I'm gone. Because I'm not putting up with it.
Right.
Why should I put up with negative talk if you want to be negative? God has told us that we need to be a blessing. Well, if I'm going to be a blessing and you're not even trying to be a blessing, then I need to go.
And, you know, you think about this, Mike. Here's one of the things that that I have found. Those who are the ones who are always in the curses, they're always talking bad about somebody else. If you was to ask them, okay, they're talking bad about brother so-and-so. Okay, have you gone to brother so-and-so to try to correct that behavior?
Yep, that's how they respond.
Yeah. Kind of like the guy on the Department of Defense the other day when he was asked by one of the senators, he was asked, okay, tell me the plan that y'all got for ISIS.
Yes.
You know? That's how we sound as Christians sometimes when people say, well, are you willing to go and bless their life with the word of God? Well,
you might gain a brother.
Ooh. Oh, you might.
Is that the Bible?
I think you're talking Bible there, and we ought to be careful about that because, listen, we have come to the run out of our time. Mm-hmm. We have just about 30 seconds left. And, Mike, I want to say, by the way, you have always been a blessing to my life.
Likewise.
But specifically, because we're talking about this today, I want you to know, I want to speak it.
Amen.
You see, that's important to me now, to speak it, that you being here today has been a blessing to my life.
Likewise.
So, and by the way, everyone that's been listening, I know that there are many people out there. Listen, you think about those five C's, the conviction, the clarity, the consistency, the courage, and the confidence that we must have. Let me challenge. I've got about 5 seconds here. No, I'm over time. I hope they don't shut me off. But you challenge yourself to think deeply about being a blessing to other people rather than a cursing.
Amen.
God bless you.